Bibles, I'll be in the book of Jude. The book of Jude. I know Brother Edward and them in Africa probably having a good time with Brother Joseph, and that is our prayers. I know if they acting anything like they do over here, they're acting crazy. Me and Miss Jennifer got away this weekend and went on a little vacation up to Tennessee, and we enjoyed that. It was cold weather up here, up there, and then we came home, and it was even cooler down here this morning, and I love cold weather. And I like when it's cool and you ain't burning up, having to sweat and everything else. And in the South, if you get cool weather, you better be thankful for it, because you ain't going to get it all the time. And I've learned that where I used to live and where I come from, it was you get a little bit of everything. You'd get some snow about every 2 years, something like that. But down here, you get about 1 or 2 days of cold weather, and cold weather down here is about 40s or high 30s, and it don't get no colder than that. And but I love cooler weather, and I like the if we had snow down here, I'd get out and act like a kid in it if I could. But I know some people don't like that, and some people try to stay away from that, but I love it. But Jude, if you got your Bibles, Jude, if you would stand to your feet, I'll read a few verses. And I'll say it's good to be in God's house. No place like church. And I know I've heard a lot of people say this, but when you're away, all you do is think about church. You wonder what everybody's doing. You wonder what the preacher's preaching on, what songs they're singing, what's going on. And that's how it was Sunday. We were driving back Sunday, and we were watching a little bit every time. Every now and then we'd lose service and then go out. But every chance we was getting, we was trying to watch. I love being in church. I love my church, Camden Baptist Church. And I've been to some churches where you was thankful that you went, but you were thankful if you didn't have to go back. And I love coming back to church here. Every time I come here, it's, man, seeing everybody smiling, happy about coming to church. And listen to me, if you can't come to church happy, there might be something wrong. But we can come to church happy, seeing one another. If we ain't fighting, carrying on, everybody ain't talking about one another. We come to church in unity, worshiping God, ready to worship God, and you ought to be thankful for that. Everywhere you go, it ain't like that. But Jude, I'll read and start in verse number 3, and I'll read a couple of verses. It says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, and said it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. It says, for there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. God, we thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be back in your house, Lord, one more time. God, we thank you, Lord, for each person, God, that come this way tonight. God, no doubt, Lord, each of us are facing something different this week. God, there may be storms, Lord, trials somebody may be facing here, Lord, through this week. God, they need to stand in need of a touch tonight. And God, we ask the Lord to give them that special touch that they're seeking after, God, that they need. God, you know who would be here. God, you know who wouldn't. God, you know who's in the hospital. God, you know who's at home sick. God, you know who needs a touch. And Lord, we ask you, Lord, to do that thing that only you can do. Lord, be with our pastor and Brother Gary, Lord, as they're over in Africa. God, touch them. Whatever they may be doing, God, help them. Lord, help us now as we preach. Lord, fill us up. Lord, help us. Lord, preach with that anointing, Lord, that we long for. God, help us say exactly what you want us to say. Lord, nothing more, nothing less. Lord, we thank you, Lord, and we love you. And we ask all this in your name. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. Jude is a very short book. It's only one chapter. But as we come to Jude, and I first start reading here in verse number 3, Jude said it like this. He said, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation," he said, "it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith." And he said, when I first was going to write about the common salvation. But the first thing he mentioned right here was that you should earnestly contend for the faith. And Brother Darnell, I was at work last week, and we have some guys we're working around. We're with them every day. We're talking to them every day. And they're from, some of them are from different states, and they travel to work over where we're at. And we all had a conversation. We went and ate lunch last Thursday, and we all had a conversation. We were sitting at the table, and one of them brought up, they were talking about how our country is going downhill. And from the way these guys talk and the way they act, I honestly don't think they go to church. I don't believe they go to church on a regular basis just because of the way they live. I can see it in their life. But it didn't take much for them to realize that our country was in bad shape, Brother Dan. They were talking about how attack was on our president. And they were talking about how it just seems like our country as a whole, things are changing. And the things about, so they had brought up some things about homosexuality, and they were saying, you see that a whole lot more now than what you used to. And one of the older gentlemen that was sitting at the table with us, he said, when I was in school, if you acted like that, you dare not tell anybody about that. If you had that kind of lifestyle and you wanted to be that way, you wouldn't let nobody know about it because you were scared of what was going to happen to you. And this older gentleman, he was saying, man, he said, I'm surprised on how much our things have changed. And then listen to me, you ain't got to be saved and in church to realize that our country is going downhill. You ain't got to be in church every day listening to a preacher tell you that our country is going downhill to realize that we're in bad shape. Brother Darnell, I've listened to talk radio a little bit. You can turn on the news and all that, and it seems like every time you hear something, it's an attack against our country. And it's not coming from other countries against our country. It's coming from within, inside of our own borders. It's coming from within, inside of our own people. You got this side, the right side against the left side, the left side against the right side. You say, what's wrong? We're fighting against one another. Every day it's a battle. And listen to me, us Christians, we better realize that we're in a battle. It ain't Democrats against Republicans, Republicans against Democrats. I believe we're living in a day where it's Christians against everybody else. We're living in a day where if you don't stand for something, you ain't standing for nothing. And Jude said right here, he said, I wanted to talk to you about the common salvation. He said, but I believe it's necessary for me to say that you should earnestly contend for the faith. And what I come to say tonight is we need some people that's going to contend for the faith. You say, what does that mean? Some people that are going to stand up and going to fight for what we got. And that faith, that means the gospel. I just want to mention some things that we need to contend for. The first thing we need to contend for is our Bible. Our King James Bible. There's a whole lot of other versions out there. They call them Bibles. They call them all kinds of stuff. And all they are is perverted versions, or watered-down versions of the King James Bible. And it's an attack against our Bible. It's an attack against the King James Bible. You say, what do we need? We need some men and women that are going to stand up and they're going to contend for the Bible. They try to pervert the Word of God. They try to twist the Word of God. They'll try to tell you that them things in the Bible, they ain't important. You shouldn't live them things. It's just an old word that somebody put in there that they thought they should live. But let me say this. This is the true living Word of God. I've mentioned this before, but in the White House, I heard a preacher say, in the White House, over the doorways in the hallway, they have Scripture written over the doorways in the hallways. And to think that people that are trying to steer away from the Word of God are having to walk right through them hallways looking at the Word of God. And they'll go in there and try to pass laws. Sit in them meetings and try to pass laws that they know good and well. Our country don't believe in that mess. We wasn't founded upon that mess. But they try to do it anyway. Why? Because they're not founded upon what they used to be founded upon. If our country is going to keep going the way it's going, we're going to have to walk around the Word of God. We're going to have to walk over the Word of God. We're going to have to walk under the Word of God. And they'll do everything they can to try to avoid it. Why? Because the Bible brings conviction. It shows us where we're wrong. It shows us where we need to correct areas, where we need to straighten up a little bit. The Bible's our roadmap. That's how we live our lives. We should try our best to try to line up with this Bible. So the first thing we need to contend for is the Bible. Our Bible's under attack. They would love, I don't know, I would hate to see this during my day. But Brother Daniel, I believe we might be living in the days where they try to take this book right here and say no more. You can't use this no more. You can't have this no more. And I know there's countries right now, that right now as we breathe, there's countries that do not allow the Word of God inside of their country. And there's missionaries that are trying to get over into them lands and trying to get over in them countries, trying to get the Word of God over there. Why? Because they know if they can get this Bible, it can change their life. Listen to me. I didn't get saved. I didn't get saved under somebody preaching out of the NIV, ESV, or any other type of Bible. When that preacher got up on that Sunday night, Brother Dan, he wasn't preaching out of some perverted version. He was preaching out of the King James Bible. That Bible, that King James Bible, brought conviction to my life and showed me where I needed to be saved. Hey, I say thank God for the King James Bible. Hey, they may not want it down the road. They may not like it down the road. Hey, the other ones may not want it, but hey, I thank God for the King James Bible. This is where I get my help. This is where I get my instruction. This is what I want to lead my family by a King James Bible. God help the day that they try to get rid of that. God help the day they try to tell us, we can't have that no more. You can't preach that no more. I believe the day is coming. Why? Because this Bible brings, it's got power. It brings power. You let somebody stand up. I believe if you let somebody stand up in a crowd and they've never heard the Bible before, I believe when they hear the when that blessed book opened up and they begin to read that Bible, something on the inside of them will know, hey, this thing is real. It's the real, it's the living Word of God. This thing ain't dead. It ain't old. Hey, they can have their Qurans, they can have all that. Just give me the Bible. The King James Bible. Jude said, he said that you should earnestly contend for the faith. The next thing I want to talk about contending for is our church. We need to fight for our church. I know of churches right now that used to have church. Now the doors are locked. They ain't having church no more. On Sunday morning, you can ride by that church. You can tell nobody's been there. There's grass growing up in the parking lot. Nobody's been in that parking lot. And no telling how long. The grass hasn't been cut. It seems like the church place has fallen apart. And let me tell you, hey, there's plenty of churches shutting down, but I'm telling you what's happened is a lot of people have quit fighting for the church. They quit contending for the church. It's too hard. It takes some dedication on Sunday morning to decide that you're going to get out of bed and come to the church house. Hey, it's going to take a little contending sometimes for you to decide, hey, I'm going to have to go to church instead of going to the ball game on Sunday. I'm telling you, there's a lot of people, they've decided to quit on the church. But Brother Darnell, when I come in here, this is where I get my help. This is where I get my encouragement. This is where I get my strength. Hey, if it wasn't for church, I don't know where I'd be. If it wasn't for the church house, I'd have never got saved, because that's where I got saved, in the church house. Hey, I remember the day that my family, hey, they didn't walk in some bar and hear the gospel preached. They didn't walk in some football game and hear the gospel preached. No, we walked through a door on a church house, walked in and sat down and heard the gospel preached, and that's where I got saved, in a church house. I thank God for the church. I thank God for an old-fashioned church that ain't changed. I thank God for a pastor that has not changed the way this church believes. There's a whole lot of church. Listen to me. I know we could draw a crowd if we wanted to. And on Sunday morning, we have a good crowd here. And no doubt God's blessed this church tremendously. But listen to me. I know we could get a big crowd in here if we would just bring whatever we wanted to and to preach prosperity and preach we're going to give them a bunch of money and all that stuff. Hey, we could draw a crowd that way. But it wouldn't be pleasing to God. You would have to pervert the gospel. You'd have to start preaching a different way to get a big crowd in here. But listen to me. I'm content with what God wants here. I'm content with who God wants to put in this church. Listen to me. I believe He's got the man He wants preaching at this church. I believe He's got the pastor that He wants preaching at this church. Listen, there's a lot of churches. They try to go different ways to draw different people in to please this crowd and go this way. But I thank God for a church that has not changed. Old-fashioned, independent, fundamental Baptist church that believes the truth, believes the King James Bible. I thank God for the church. And there's a lot of people that are against the church. They'll tell you church ain't no good for you. All you're doing is going down there wasting your time. All you're doing is going down there and doing nothing for you think it's going to do you some good. Listen to me. We may not ever get a bunch of blessings in life, but I'm telling you, I would not want to miss going to church. Listen to me. I want my family to grow up in a church just like this. I want my kids to be able to have a church just like this. God help, I wonder what's going to happen. I wonder what, in 20 years, well, I wonder if my kids, when they get my age, if they'll still be churches like this. Brother Darnell, it's up to us if we're going to contend for it. Are we going to fight for it? I believe, Brother Bradley, we're living in the days where me and you might see the days where they walk through them doors back there on a Sunday morning and say, you know what? Hey, that preaching y'all are doing down there, we've been watching y'all, we've been listening to y'all on the internet. They might come in here and say, this is it, we're closing it up, y'all got to go somewhere else. Do you realize there's people in other countries having to hide to have church service just like this? I remember Brother Edward saying on his last mission trip, when he went down there and preached, and they went in, and as soon as service started, they had to walk in through the back. And as soon as church was over, they had to go in the same way they went. As soon as church was over, there was no hanging around. There was no talking to everybody. There was none of that. As soon as church was over, you had to go. Why? Because if the people, the government of them countries found out what was going on, they would do whatever they could to stop that. If it took taking some lives, if it took whatever the cost was, they were willing to do that to shut down whatever's going on during them church services. But we live in a country where we don't have to worry about that. You walk in them doors tonight, you walk in there freely. Wasn't nobody trying to pull you, tell you you couldn't go in there, you can't come to church tonight. Nobody saying that we're going to lock you up for coming to church. Hey, I thank God we live in a country where we're allowed to go to church still. I thank God for the church. You said that you should earnestly contend. We need to fight for the church. Another thing we need to fight for, we need to contend for our nation. I just mentioned a few minutes ago, but our nation's under attack. Not from the outside, but from the inside. We're living in a day where you had, and even in verse number 4, it says like this, it says, "For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." There's people that used to stand like we stand, believing the same thing that we believe right now. But now they're on the outside fighting what's on the inside. People that used to believe like us, used to worship like us. Now they're the ones saying, hey, we're for the laws. We're for the abortion laws. We're for the gay marriage laws. Pass all that. We're for it. Yeah, well, you got our vote. Take it. People that used to do the right thing. Now they're ungodly men, fighting against godly men, fighting against godly people. You say, what's wrong? Our nation's in trouble. They're trying to pass laws, trying to tell you that we got to believe certain ways. They're trying to instill that in our young people, saying you got to act like this. You can't talk about this crowd no more. You talk about this crowd, you're going to be in trouble. We're going to lock you up. God help, what's wrong? Our nation's in trouble. We need to contend for our nation, fight for our nation. We got something to fight against. And he said, and then he said, earnestly contend. And the next thing I want to talk about contending for is our brethren, the people around you. There's a whole lot of, I'll be careful when I say this, but there's a whole lot of, it seems like in our day, preachers against other preachers. It seems like this work is against this work. Even though this man's doing right, trying to do right, trying to believe right, preaching the truth, but if he has 100 people saved at his meeting, then he's doing something wrong. Because there's no way 100 people could have been saved at his meeting. Just because God's doing a big work with this man. And now we're fighting against one another. Hey, we need to realize that the battle is not between me and Brother Bradley. The battle ain't between me and Brother Dan. It ain't between me and Brother Darnell. We shouldn't be fighting against one another, but the battle's against those that don't know what's going on. And they're blinded to the things that are going on around them. A lot of people are fighting against own people in the church house, fighting against their own brethren. And what's happening is sinners are looking on and they're seeing that. And what's happening is they're dying and going to hell. Because the brethren are too busy fighting against one another. God help us. If all you can do is bash another man's meat and talk about what he's got going on, God help you. You just need to go to the house and find you another profession. That's all I got to say. Hey, there's sinners. There's sinners in the balance that need to be saved. God help us. We shouldn't be fighting one another. So we need to contend for our brethren. You said that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. He said, for there are certain men that crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the Holy Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Jude, I believe he found it important for the first thing for him to mention was to contend for the faith. We got some things we need to fight for. If God gave you a family, you need to fight for your family. They're trying to push down our throat that it's okay for a woman and a woman to be together. For a man and a man to be together. And that I've seen it, Brother Darnell, when we've been in restaurants before and look over and a woman and a woman be together and they got a little kid with them. And I can only think what they're teaching that little kid is the same lifestyle that they're living. The same thing that they're doing, that little kid's watching. And that little kid's going to grow up thinking that's okay. God help us. Your family's one step away from going that direction. If you don't fight for it, if you don't fight for what we have, what we believe in, we're going to have nothing. But if we fight for something, we'll have it all. We may not ever have the popular vote. We may not ever have everybody on our side. But I'd rather be serving God knowing that He's okay with us than knowing that everybody else is okay with us. I'd rather have the world mad at me than knowing God was mad at me. So Jude said, earnestly contend for the faith. We got something to contend for. You got a church to contend for. You got faith to contend for, a Bible to contend for. You got brethren to contend for and a country to contend for. We got something to fight for. I believe we're living in days where some people are going to have to stand up and fight. There's men that are serving our country. They're in the military, whatever branch they may be. But they're fighting for our country. But God's called some people to be Christians and He's depending on you to fight. He's depending on you to contend. And Brother Dan, I've watched some old-timers. I don't mean that out of disrespect, but I've watched some older preachers, and they passed on now, but I've watched them. They've contended for the faith. They fought hard. They fought a good battle, and I believe God was pleased with their life, pleased with what they did. They preached the straight and narrow way, and I thank God for them men that preached it. Brother Bradley, we got what we got now because some men blazed the trail before us. They fought. They contended. They went ahead of us and fought for something. I believe we would be surprised on how many men had to give their lives for us to have the Bible that we have right now. We would be surprised on how many men, the number of men that have given their life for us to be able to come in here and worship freely tonight. We would be surprised. But God's called us to be Christians to contend for the faith. He's given us something to fight for. And you shouldn't be fighting against one another, the person against the aisle. Listen to me. Our battle is out there. We're fighting against powers and principalities, against rulers of darkness, things that are going on in dark. I'm talking about it's wicked stuff that's going on. My grandparents, I can remember sitting on the porch, and my grandparents would tell me, they'd say, son, the days that we're living in now, they say, I'd never imagined stuff would be happening like it's happening right now. My dad would tell me, I believe I've said this before, but they were allowed to ride their bicycle up the road, walk up the road, go swim in the river, wouldn't have to worry about nothing. Now you got mamas killing their own kids, hiding them, trying to hide from the law, lying to the law, telling them why? Because wickedness is in our country. I can't imagine what it's going to be like 10, 15, 20 years from now if God don't come back. We got something to fight for. We got something to contend for. Listen to me. If God's given you a family, fight for it.
Because I'm telling you, the days are coming where the devil's coming after them. They're going to come after your wife, come after your husband, come after your children. Whatever it is, he's coming after them. We need to contend for it. And that's all I got tonight. I'll go ahead and dismiss us, but we need to fight for our church. But hey, fight for your pastor. Don't let nobody run him down, talk about him. Listen to me. If somebody talks about your man of God, just tell him you ain't got time for that. You love your man of God. Appreciate your man of God. Hey, I believe our man of God would do anything for us. I believe our preacher's wife would do anything for us. I know he's in Africa right now, but if something happened right now and he needed to get back home, he would do his very best to get back to where he needed to be. Why? Because he loves his church family. He loves God's people. Brother Hayward, I don't believe he would do anything to hurt us. And I'm glad to know that we got a pastor who's going over to another country trying to help other people, trying to get them to Christ. What's he doing? He's contending for the faith, fighting for the faith. If we will, we'll go ahead and stand tonight. We'll be dismissed.